WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
It is indeed Monday. Monday Night Talk. My name is Kevin Tachi, and just a little bit of business to get out of the way. I was expecting... Now, Ben, I was expecting your trainee to be in studio this evening. And so that cut one that you see, right, that's in the queue, that was for young Mr. Quinn Kelly. If you could hit that real quick.
Sullivan takes the snap, drops to a knee, and they're waiting to see. And it looks, they think that one might do it, and it will. Anchors away. Situate is your 2018 Division 5 Super Bowl champion.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so that little tidbit, that little nugget, I was going to surprise him because I did pay attention to the game, and I thought he did a phenomenal job. And again, brought to you here by 95.9 WATD, call of the game on Saturday as Situate, their first ever state title in football after two tries. And of course I have in here with me none other than State Representative Jeff Deal, and he knows about state titles because I believe his daughter was part of the Whitman Hanson cheerleaders, varsity cheerleaders, who also won a state title, right?
They just won their 14th state title. Wow. And that's a lot, and it's only been I want to say out of like 15 or 16 years. It was a really short time period that since they've been competing for these things. So it was exciting. Yeah, it was just about, I think, 2 weekends ago.
Yeah.
And I hate to say this. I mean, you know, campaign for U.S. Senate, that's exciting. But waiting for the scores to come out and, you know, it's down to the final two teams. It was Whitman and Milton. And, man, literally half a point was what separated the two. And we just were holding our breath. And so when they won the title, I felt so proud for my daughter and all the girls on it. A lot of varsity girls also graduating. So it's a really nice team. But congratulations, Situate.
You have two daughters. Which one was a champion, a state champion?
So Kaylee is a junior, and she's the varsity cheer champion. And then my other daughter, Emily, also does cheer. And... So they'll be competing. They're actually just doing practicing. In fact, tonight they are doing cheer practice. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah,
congratulations. So
I'm a cheer dad. I don't know any cheer dads out there. Please call in, and I'm sure we can share the pain. Driving around at night to all these practices, grabbing McDonald's on the way, Wendy's or whatever your favorite.
How do you
chain
do it?
Is.
You get such a slender figure. I don't see. Must be all that campaigning.
I'm ready to bulk up for Christmas. I'm telling you.
There you go. Well, Representative Deal is going to be, he's going to be kind of a guest co-host, so to speak, for the first hour of Monday Night Talk. Second part of the hour, we will have State Rep Dave DeCoste will be in, and we'll talk with both of them in regards to campaigns and even talk things on the national level, passing of
George H.W. Bush.
Yeah, President, the 41st President. Very sad news. We talk a little bit about that and get your take on where things are on the national level. So we'll look forward to that. Second hour, we kind of get into a festive mood. I try to do that from time to time and gear some of our conversations towards that. We got Michael Faherty, who is going to be joining us, and Michael's going to be talking to us about the Christmas show that's going to be put on this coming weekend thewonderofchristmas.net is if you want to get a little advanced information prior to my conversation at 7 o'clock with Michael, you can do that. And I'm sure you've heard it numerous times starting last week, Christine James having a conversation with Sean Page. Sean, of course, with the Plymouth Firefighters, coordinated with the Toys for Tots. We'll talk with him about their event coming up the 7th, the 8th, the 9th of this this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as they try to stuff a bus. The bus will be at the Walmart down at Colony Place. I believe Lisa and Rob are going to be doing a live broadcast. We'll talk a little bit about that with Sean. And then we have Dr. Maxine Esslin. She is with the Jubilate Chorale. Christmas, A Time for Singing. This is her final show, and we're going to talk about that at 7:30. So, before we get to speaking with Representative Deal, who's looking at some of my information here. This just in. I believe that we actually have somebody in the building who actually had a chance to meet President Bush. More details in just a few moments here. But right now, we're going to cruise into the WATD Traffic Center. Being brought to you on this end by Brennan's Smoke Shop, online at brennansmokeshopma.com, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and now Pope's Island, New Bedford. And waiting for us on the other side is Ben Alcher. Ben, what's going on out on the highways and byways, my friend?
Hey, thank you very much. This report brought to you by Nexen Tire. Southbound side of the expressway, barely moving from the tunnel down past South Bay. More delays, Squantum Street to the split. Route 3 South delays a little bit off the expressway. Route 1 South backed up through Foxborough. You've got a crash there down after Gillette Stadium. Nexen Tire and the Purple Heart Foundation are giving away a custom Dodge Challenger to an American hero. Nominate a Purple Heart recipient at nexentireusa.com/nexenhero. Traffic on the nines every morning. I'm Ben Alcher in the WATD Traffic Center.
Hey, it's your old pal, Ghost of Christmas Future. I love the holiday season. I get so giddy, I just want to start singing. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be holiday parties and DUI drivers. People losing their heads. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
This radio ad is my gift to you. Please think about your family instead of driving under the influence. You probably won't get pulled over. More likely to bring someone else's family to their knees this holiday. From my family to you and yours, wishing you a happy and safe holiday. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best holiday shop in Massachusetts. Customers must have a valid state or federal ID to enter the store.
Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, we are back and running in from the bullpen. Joining us is State Representative Jeff Deal. Jeff, also a candidate for U.S. Senate. Welcome back.
Thanks, Kevin. Yeah, no, I mean, look, it's been a while since I've been in the ATD studios. I've been running around the state for so long.
Well, you've spent a lot of time in some bigger and better studios.
Better? What do you mean?
Oh, gee, bigger studios. I know you've done some fill-in work up at RKO.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been exciting because obviously you do a lot of TV, you do a lot of radio when you're doing the campaign, a lot of Skype interviews. Oh my gosh, I was doing things all across the country on different, you know, Skype interviews. We're doing that from the RV, so I'm trying to, you know, get the RV pulled over, get the camera or the phone set up with a tripod while you're doing it. I'll tell you what, being out there with all forms of media nowadays, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or radio or TV or Skype, it's a lot to do. There's a lot of media out there just to fulfill before you even get to campaign stops and give speeches and have fundraising events at night. But yeah, that all, you know, obviously finished up in November, and now it's just been a chance for me to get caught up. And I know, coming back into ATD, it's nice. I mean, Monday Night Talk has always been one of those staples where it's a great chance to kind of listen to people who call in, but at the same time, let people know what's going on. And you always have great guests. So for me, listening to Monday Night Talk is a great way to get the feel for what's going on, you know, in my region.
Well, we know that you weren't successful in your bid.
But well, I'm still waiting on a last minute recount bid, I think.
I have to say that the interesting election, you know, the night of the election, myself covering the race that the district that you held that seat for 4 successful terms, is that correct?
Yep, the 7th Plymouth, Abington, Whitman, East Bridgewater. Yeah.
Well, so, you know, I was at one of the candidates' homes. That's where they were having their, they were, you know, watching the, for the election results. And I walk in, it was probably around 7:58-ish. And I walk in, and folks are kind of gathered around the TV. You know, they had, I don't know if they had Fox, they probably had Fox News on, what have you. And you have the top of the hour, you know, it's, they roll out the, you know, letting you know that it's the top of the hour and the polls are closed. And right after that, they're like, going, oh, we got results in and Elizabeth Warren has successfully. And I'm like, going, whoa, already? How's that possible? What was that like to know that they already had exit polls and they were already calling the race? How did that feel to you as a candidate?
Well, I mean, look, we put a lot of time and effort in a year and a half, and ultimately we got 36% of the vote. In fact, you know, when it came to other statewide offices other than the Governor Baker, we did about 10 points better than most other candidates who ran statewide, Secretary of State, Auditor, Treasurer, all that sort of thing. But clearly, you know, at 36%, that was not nearly enough. Now, I will say, 7.5% of voters out there changed their mind and voted, instead of her, voted for me. That would have changed the story, and we would have, you know, had a different night. However, it was what it was. And so, yeah, I mean, getting the sudden news, I guess in some ways it's better than waiting until, you know, midnight or 1 o'clock if these things are dragging out. But, no, I mean, look, we had an exciting night during the primary when we won that pretty overwhelmingly. We won with 55%. We knew within minutes that we had won the primary way back in September.
Exactly, yep.
And so, you know, I guess nowadays with modern technology, I guess there's, you know, certain races, I guess they're able to just call fairly quickly.
I just felt it was the biggest race here in the Commonwealth. And for folks not to at least wait 15 minutes, at least. Give it time. Make sure that, you know, all those numbers were accurate and correct.
Well, I mean, they really wanted to get right to the Baker blowout over Gonzalez. I guess that was really what they were rushing to cover next, you know. No, I mean, it is what it is. But at the same time, it was a great chance to go across the state and meet a lot of good people. And I think, you know, what was neat takeaways was that I won this congressional district. Not to say that, you know, I didn't run against Steve Lynch, but I actually beat in the congressional district Elizabeth Warren for this region, for my congressional district, the 9th. I'm sorry, the 8th, which is Steve Lynch's. And then I also won Plymouth County, which, by the way, has never gone against an incumbent. So we were able to sort of make a little bit of history there where the state, or this region, Plymouth County, voted for me the challenger.
What did you learn from this particular run for office?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I mean, you know, there is no handbook on how to run for United States Senate.
There isn't one for parenting either, so right. I feel your pain.
Yeah. Although I think you can watch like Oprah or Dr. Phil and they'll tell you how to do things. But no, when it comes to U.S. Senate, you know, the first thing you've got to do is just get on the phone and start trying to raise money, because in order to put the team together, you know, act one, scene one is get those dollars in. And so you immediately have to start making phone calls, really not even necessarily knowing what the main issues are going to be that ultimately come to the forefront during that final, this final few months. You know, that's when everybody's paying attention. So, you know, you're trying to make a case for why you think you can win the race. You're trying to make a case for why somebody should part with some of their own money to help you out. But we were able to raise almost $2.5 million, which was pretty good amount. We didn't get really any help federally. We didn't get help from the state party. You know, they just, you know, I think they saw that the race was going to be extremely difficult, but we said, look, we're going to give it our best shot. And so we spent a lot of time and a lot of energy, and we certainly traveled everywhere we could all around the state, again, with that RV, racking up the miles. And, you know, I think generally speaking, most people I talked to, they felt, you know, with the debates, we had 3 of them with Senator Warren.
What was that? I have to say this. Is this knowing that you were on a smaller stage here locally, to transcend and be on a bigger stage, the audience was much larger, but yet, and I'm not saying this because you're here, but you were very composed, and I thought you did a really nice job in trying to stick to the note. And you were good. I think the areas that you excelled where Scott Brown, the prior opponent of Elizabeth Warren, he struggled a bit, and I think that caused issues. You were able to counter a lot of the things she'd thrown at you. You were able to deflect and be able to return volley. Now, how that helped you get your message across to the voters who watched, whether it was here in whether it was here on the South Shore or in Springfield, remains to be seen. But
well, I think one of the things is that when you serve in the legislature, and for me that was 8 years, and you actually go to the floor and you actually debate issues, you start getting practiced with the way that the other person is going to either try to deflect or the way that they will counter your arguments. You just become very aware and adept at how you have to handle debating. And so for me, it's something that I had done twice as a state rep candidate, and then on the floor of the House, and then during the primary. I know I had one debate with my two opponents, so you know it was a three-way situation. That was interesting, but at the same time, you know, Senator Warren was a whole new, you know, experience, because obviously she's the incumbent, and theoretically she should be knowledgeable about the issues. But what I think we found, and I think a lot of people relayed back to me, was she really didn't seem to be focused on Massachusetts. Like, you were able to talk specifically about a lot of issues directly affecting Massachusetts, and I think that was one of the things that was disappointing, was that I think her selling point was more to the fact that she wanted to be the opposition to the president, not necessarily focused on, you know, the issues that are affecting our state. And so, you know, again, the voters made their choice. I'm not looking back with any regrets. I'm only saying that I certainly was ready to go to Washington and try to make this whole discussion not about pointing fingers and heightened rhetoric that really doesn't help move
right.
the American
You were not forward. Using Plymouth Rock as a stepping stone.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
So what now? So you serve out the remainder
and
of
that's
your
the way the Toll House cookie crumbles, I guess, right?
That's beautiful. This is great. This should be like a bumper sticker. So what now? You serve out the remainder of your state rep term. What happens afterwards?
Yeah, so I've got another month roughly before the new, session is sworn in, and that's when Allison Sullivan, who's going to succeed me, takes over. In fact, she and I had a chance to march in the East Bridgewater Christmas on the Common Parade this last Saturday. It was really nice, and talked to a lot of community leaders, Kiwanis, Lions Club, school superintendent Legault. Just had a chance to walk her around and talk, and you know, and she knew a lot of people, but also a chance to introduce some people that I knew that she'll want to talk to. So it was great. It was a chance for me to kind of transition over with her in the community, and I'm sure we're going to continue to do that over the next few weeks. I know I'm planning on getting her up to speed on, you know, just district-wide issues that are ongoing. And then at that point, you know, I've got several options as far as private sector. I'm looking at a few things, possibly Mass GOP chair is something that I've, you know, people were talking to me about. I said I'll consider it, so I'm thinking about that. And, you know, obviously there's always the opportunity potentially to work in the federal government under the Trump administration. So I'm just, again, things are still unfolding. I mean, it's been about a month since the election, I guess, now. And it's been really nice to be back in my house with the family. I'm now making dinner on a nightly basis, which is great. My wife loves that. And
what's your specialty?
Oh, my gosh.
Do you have a specialty?
Well, I think I want to call
it. Say she was a mac and cheese guy, or maybe hot dog and beans.
I'm going to call the grill my specialty, okay? I'm not going to pick a specific meat.
Okay.
Just give me any form of red meat and an asparagus or Brussels sprouts. You know, I'll fry them on the grill. You know,
big Brussels sprouts.
Yeah,
right
with
now.
Some nice
baby
light
cabbage.
Olive oil and a little bit of garlic salt on them, right? Let that soak in before you put it on the grill.
I see a cooking show in your future.
Yeah. No, I've got, like I said, I've got to fatten up for Christmas. I lost a lot of weight on the campaign trail. But no, it's been great being back at home, seeing the kids. I haven't really seen them a lot lately.
Wait, are you teasing Santa Claus 4? Mm. The Santa Claus 4? Tim Allen? No, I'm just kidding. Well, let's do this. Do you want to open up the phone lines in case anybody wants to call in?
Yeah,
and say,
please.
Hello? 781-837-4900. This is a new adventure for Ben, who is my op, because we normally don't field a lot of calls. But yeah, we'll take calls if folks want to call in and be kind and say hello to you.
Oh, they can let me have it too. Whatever they want to do.
That's right. You are on another radio.
I like
station,
it either
so.
Way.
Of course, our representative Dave DeCosta is here. He joins us. Welcome, sir.
Welcome.
How
Thank
are
you for having me on.
So, you know, what could beat two state representatives? right? Like a card game, right?
Oh, we sat next to each other in the legislature for 4 years, so he's used to this.
Well, I was going to tell you, a WATD news director will beat two state representatives. She's going to pop in for a couple of moments. Remember I teased earlier break in regards to, did you ever have a chance to meet President Bush?
No, I met Governor Reagan once. Governor Reagan came in February 1980 January 1980 to Cohasset High School.
All right. Well, in a couple of moments, Christine James is going to join us for a couple of moments and share details. She did once meet George Herbert Walker Bush a long, long time ago. Kind of give us details. We commiserate for a moment about his passing. But again, we have no calls at this moment. But your thoughts on the gentleman who ran a fantastic race?
I voted for him.
There's one.
Well, I'll tell you what. I represent Norwell and Hanover and Rockland, and Jeff ran extremely strong in that area. So he was pulling us up. I'm not sure if anybody else on the ballot had coattails for me, but Jeff certainly had coattails. And we actually, one of the benchmarks we were looking at was if I could get about 95%, within 5% of Jeff's total in Hanover. We knew we were pretty good. Yeah. So when the Hanover numbers came in and I was within that number, we knew we were doing all right.
Was there any concern? I kind of felt that there was a little tension with a lot of the Republicans on the South Shore with fear of what would happen down ticket from Jeff's race for U.S. Senate.
You had both parts of the party. You know, the governor's slightly more moderate, I've heard, and Jeff's a little more conservative. And so you had the entire party. There was good reason for concern. The other side was energized, and there were a lot of, many of them, they were angry. The president, and which I agree with much of what he's doing, but his coarseness does not play well up here. Mm. If he could be doing the exact same things in Washington and acting more like George H.W. Bush, President Reagan, I think it would have been a lot easier for us. And if you look at the numbers down here, there are very few GOP folks running who broke 55%, which was, and on the North Shore, we actually lost a colleague and almost lost another one who previously had done quite well. So
somebody had talked to me about the fact that the ballot questions may have been sort of an incidental draw. Like, you know, there was the grand bargain that got rid of the sales tax going back to 5% and the min wage going to 15% and all that. But, that was all passed as a separate sort of package. But then what ended up filling in the gaps was there was obviously the ballot question on nurses' staffing levels. There was the ballot question on the transgender access to restrooms and public facilities. And then, of course, there was that middle one, which was the ballot question dealing with Citizens United, creating a group to sort of a panel to work on that, or opposition to that. So at first it seemed like those ballot questions weren't really much of a draw, but it turns out I think they became a bit more, they got more awareness than I think people were expecting them to, which drew out more voters.
We know in Hanover, at least, talked to the town clerk, and they thought in both Jeff's case, and there were many people who thought that the questions were on primary day. So that increased the primary turnout. But question one definitely energized a lot of people to show up to vote. There's no doubt about it.
So joining us now is WATD Managing News Editor Christine James. As I teased you, she sent me a text that she once had a chance to meet Bush 41.
Yes, I did. I met Bush 41, met Bush 43. He wasn't the president yet. So wedding up in Kennebunkport. A very good friend of ours is a Walker cousin. And we went to the wedding and the reception. And I have to tell you, I was really impressed with him. And I thought my first reaction was, who's handling this guy's public image? Because they didn't do a very good job. Mm. He was very dynamic, very intense, very handsome. And yet, as a lot of these accolades are coming in, such a human, nice person. But you could tell that underneath, it's like, this is someone who is a person of substance. I just very impressed by him. Met Barbara Bush too. met some of the other sons. My husband actually got to ride on one of those cigarette boats that they had. So that was pretty cool.
Wait,
I found a $50 bill in the street. it was a great weekend.
So it was like a win-win-win weekend for
you. It was wonderful. And it was a beautiful wedding of a little stone church there. I think it's at St. Anne's. I can't remember. It was back in the late 80s. But again, very impressed with him.
God, where isn't there a St. Anne's? It seems like they're all over the place. Now, you're a naval person, are you not? Or are you
an army person.
How dare I bite my tongue.
Oh, that's all right.
But again, you're still serving in the military, knowing that he served. This individual was a war hero.
Man of his generation. I mean, that is very common. Yeah, he was not the youngest. Representative Moakley is a good example. They got in. In his case, as my uncle did. He lied to get in. It was not uncommon to have 15 and 16 year olds fighting in combat because they claimed to be 17 and took training and were deployed. And George Bush at the time was the youngest naval aviator in America.
Right. And didn't he fly over something like 38 missions?
54 missions.
Which is very unusual because most of these guys didn't make it after, 25 or 30.
They had a mortality rate higher than infantrymen.
Mm-hmm.
You, Kevin, by the way, were in the house of somebody tied to George Bush. Mike Sullivan, former U.S. Attorney for Mass, when you were there for the victory or for the election night.
Like the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Here.
That's right.
It really is.
Now, Mike Sullivan, of course, was a former state representative as well, and he took over a couple years after Andy Card had been a state representative, and they were good friends from Holbrook, where they both grew up. Now, Andy Card became White House Chief of Staff under George W. Bush, but had served as Secretary of Transportation under George H.W. Bush. And Ron Kaufman had married Andy Card's sister, and Ron Kaufman is still the national committee man to this day for the Massachusetts Republican Party, and has been the longest serving longest serving national committee man in the country because of his connections to George H.W. Bush, whom he helped years ago. Now, my final thing on the story is there's the four horsemen that helped George Bush go around New Hampshire and help win the primary way back when they were running him for president, and I think Andy was one of them. And there was a guy named Andrew Natsios was a state rep as well. And I can't think of the other two that were in the car with him. But they were called the Four Horsemen because they would literally get in a car and just drive him everywhere they needed to go to get him to the right places in New Hampshire to win that primary.
Right, but that was the beginning of the end, so to speak, before George Bush dropped out of the primary, correct?
No, this was way back when in, was 88. It 88?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because remember, there was two presidential runs. He had the presidential run in 1980 where he won New Hampshire. I believe he won New Hampshire but was not successful.
No, he won Iowa. He lost
New Hampshire. He won Iowa, lost New Hampshire.
That was the one where President Reagan grabbed the microphone and said.
I stand corrected. but eventually he did drop out of the race. But then it was a last-minute selection of Ronald Reagan to be his running mate for VP. And that's the thoughts is interesting knowing that Barbara Bush passed away earlier this year, that not too long afterwards, that, George.
Not an unusual situation with a lot of couples that have been married a long time. When they say people can, maybe they wouldn't come out and say publicly they die of a broken heart, but people are connected and you're together that long and a big part of your life is missing. So, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a soothsayer, but that's not that uncommon a situation.
Are we going to be following as to all the ceremonies that are going to be taking place Wednesday, Thursday?
That's usually, on the national, it comes through the national correspondence. But again, I'm glad I had the chance to meet him. Very impressed, very dynamic, and a real gentleman. I don't want to say tiger because it makes it sound like I'm making fun of him, but it wasn't. He was just very dynamic.
Memorable moment from whether it's during his presidency as a vice president or even afterwards, Christine James?
I liked seeing him answer questions quickly on his feet because he was, it's there that he really proved just how smart he was and how real he was, and it didn't sound like he was a canned speaker, which I liked. And I think he was very sincerely in love with his family, and I give him more credit for that than anything.
Dave, your thoughts?
I was just thinking back. I'm listening, and Christine's a member of the press, and one of his problems in New Hampshire was that the publisher of the Manchurian Globe despised. Mm-hmm. That's where you got the first you know, the wimp. And I think that his problems in New Hampshire always had to do with the fact that, and part of it was that the Loebs were very supportive of President Reagan. So even 1980 and Governor Reagan, they were very much supportive of him. And there was always bad blood between the union leader and mm-hmm. leadership of the publisher.
And it's interesting because the Newsweek, the bureau chief came on this week on CBS Sunday Morning and said that they had asked that question on the cover of one of their issues. And he said, we were wrong. And he said that, you know, publicly on Sunday. And you know what? He was wrong because he was not a wimp at right. all.
Hero. Mm-hmm. Jeff?
Tomorrow I give my farewell speech on the floor of the House, and I've incorporated in it some notes from the fact that George H.W. Bush left a letter for Bill Clinton, who had beat him, making him, you know, a one-term president. And in the note, he had said he's rooting for the Clinton presidency, and I think that is something that's lacking in the civility of modern-day national politics, something that I think we need to keep in mind. I know in Massachusetts we do a very good job of keeping civil, but I would say that nationally it's something that's being missed, and that's, I think, my biggest memory is the fact that he had the class to lose such an important office and still write such a cheerleader of a speech. Or, I mean, a letter.
So we're going to step aside. Christiane, well, thank you for coming in and telling you, sharing your story.
Delighted to be here, Kevin.
Thank you so much. We'll step aside when we come back. More Monday Night Talk with the two representatives, Rep DeCoast and Rep Deal. You're listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATV.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
The tale of Ralphie Parker and his Red Ryder BB gun has become a Christmas tradition. See it unfold in person as the Massasoit Theater Company presents A Christmas Story. Join Ralphie's adventure as he struggles to make it to Christmas Day with his glasses and his hopes intact at the Massasoit Theater Company on the Brockton campus of Massasoit Community College this Saturday night at 8 and Sunday afternoon at 3. Tickets will go quickly. Purchase yours at massasoit.edu/boxoffice.
Lucchetti's December Truck Super Sale is here. Winter came early this year. Are you ready?
We've negotiated an exclusive deal with some of the largest automotive lenders in the country with extended terms and low APRs that are at or below national prime rates. So beat the high interest rates with Lucchetti's.
Lucchetti's December Truck Super Sale is here.
Hi, it's Rob and Lisa from the South Shore's Morning News. Join us this Friday from 11 to 3 at Walmart at Colony Place as we help Plymouth Firefighters Local 1768 with their 12th annual Toys for Tots drive.
You can drop off new and unwrapped toys all weekend long so we can stuff the bus full of gifts for infants to young teens.
We'll kick off the toy drive this Friday from 11 to 3. So come join us at Walmart at Colony Place in Plymouth.
See you there.
Download previous episodes of Monday Night Talk and listen to them anywhere. Check out 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, we are back, and Rep DeCoast and Rep Deal both still here with me. And that was a good, nice little, it was a nice surprise in regards to having Christiane join us and talk a little bit about President Bush and his passing. And congratulations to you, Rep DeCoast, for winning another term.
Thank you. Thank you.
What are you looking forward to come the new legislative session?
We're already working on that. I've met with because there are a number of elected boards, I have worked with a number of elected boards to determine priorities. But I can tell you that in the once around the world, the SPED funding and the senior circuit breaker funding, we're hoping to increase it. You know, that's, you know, the good thing about that issue is that's something, it doesn't matter where on the political spectrum you fall, that I think everybody wants to see an increase in SPED. When we say SPED, special education funding for the towns, the cities and towns, and also I think some way the senior circuit breaker program, which we'll probably have a little bit of a piece on Wednesday coming up.
Now I get to speak, by the way, without having, you know, look, I'm not back, so I can say whatever I want to.
The strings have been removed.
That's right. I think we also need to look at a bigger picture on education funding, and that is reworking Chapter 70. The fact that most legislators want to get it redone, and yet it still seems to be unable to move forward. It's been over 25 years now since the original Chapter 70 education funding formula has been put in place, and there's been shifting demographics, shifting economies, shifting literally roads affect what your funding is going to be. You know, if there's main roads that businesses can build on for a tax base, then towns or cities are assessed a certain way or given revenue a certain way. Things change over 25 years. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, grants, I think, have been used to circumvent the equality that was supposed to be created through the sure. Chapter 70 funding formula. So in my opinion, I think there also needs to be a big picture movement on education. But of course, at the regional level, you want to make sure that you do. And I know Dave DeCoste is one of the better advocates on Beacon Hill when it comes to making sure that he gets these requests into the chairman for of Ways and Means. And then ultimately, we've been able to, I think, over the last several years, increase education funding more than it has been before.
Jeff's right. It's kind of frustrating. And, you know, there was a little of the turnover. There was 18 new reps, and they are primarily Democrats. And you know, so we'll see. There's been some turnover on the Republican side, some Democrats. So maybe the new blood will have a little of a little momentum towards that end.
Are we going to need something like maybe a lawsuit and a little end reform like happened back in 93? What do you guys think?
Shouldn't have to happen. I mean, that's the other thing that frustrates me. You know, again, the legislature seems to punt on a lot of issues, whether it was marijuana or casinos. You know, I'm trying to think of what else, but at nursing levels, I mean, we've, you know, that just came on the ballot as question one. The legislature, we are hired by the people to take up these issues, and if they don't come out of committee, that's a little frustrating. I know, again, Dave is an up or down kind of person. He will vote, I think, what's best for the district, I think, but the problem is sometimes you don't get those opportunities. So I think the legislature needs to do more of their job and stop putting these into referendum hands.
One thing that I'm kind of sad that Jeff won't be there, but I don't know who'll be there. He'll be somewhere, hopefully very active in the state.
He's not
but
going
there is he won't be in the legislature. And the newer group coming in on the other side, there are a number of people that have always done what we've done, and that is promise to stand for any amendment. We may not vote for it, but we will. If somebody wants to vote an amendment, we will always stand. And one of the games that is played in the legislature is they either rule things out of scope or you don't have enough people there. Mm. We need 16 people to stand. And now we have, they've always been on the more conservative side. Now we have a transparency caucus who are on the more trend, on the more liberal side, and they're going to be standing for every vote too. And that may make a big difference. That may make a big difference.
Are you going to say something?
Well, no, I was just going to say, yeah, the standard sort of rule of thumb is that they either rule something out of scope or they send it to study. I think people are very familiar with the whole
fun
sent to
right
study
there, yep.
thing. But yeah, the most recent thing is they don't even stand for roll calls. And really, how do you know how your legislator's voting if you don't see a list of roll calls? I'm not even sure if people know where to go to look for their legislator's results of roll calls. So, you know, again, at a time when the media is having trouble covering it, you know, traditional media is no longer covering, you know, all the stories out there in our communities. The other problem too is that we're not seeing on Beacon Hill a lot more of an effort to put legislators on record with their votes. Now, there are groups out there like Mass Fiscal that tries to do that. Citizens for Limited Taxation is phasing itself out. They used to be a big watchdog for tax votes. But, you know, it's something that's been lacking and I think citizens probably rightfully deserve to know how their legislators are voting, because you know, how do you know how you're gonna vote in 2 years from now if you don't see that list?
And that is another. He mentioned one, and I hope they don't. Matter of fact, I could think of one state representative from the North Shore who is now free, who would make a superb advocate for Citizens for Limited Taxation.
Chip Faulkner, is he stepping, or is he
Chip Ford said, is yeah. the other partner with him, and Chip is right. moving to Kentucky, and Chip sort of has the rights to the organization. He and Barbara Anderson were two of the two primary people, and it seems that Chip Ford is feeling like he wants to run it more as a newsletter out of Kentucky. So I hate to say that, but it's just a fact right now. I'm trying to hopefully encourage them to transfer that over to somebody.
Yeah, I could say, Jim Lyons, who had a very tough race where they spent almost, I guess, $300,000 to defeat a state representative. He was targeted nationally for some, well, for some reason, but I can't think of a better guy to run something like that. He would have the potential in his own way to be just as effective as Barbara Anderson.
You think back in the days of TV sitcoms when you'd have a flourishing star who would pop in on one sitcom and then spin off to another. Couldn't there, that's my analogy, so just work with me here. Couldn't there be some kind of a...
Joni Loves Chachi? Yeah,
that didn't do well, did it? Couldn't there be some kind of a spin-off for citizens, limited taxation that would be successful and be able to remain here in the Commonwealth?
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, I think that something will fill the void. You know, water seeks its own level, and there is, you know, when it comes to tax issues, there's certainly no lack of people wanting to know exactly, I think, what Beacon Hill is all about. Now, again, we need to make sure that individual legislative records are put out there, but I think that CLT did a good job of always getting the inside info about what the next big tax move might be. I know, fortunately, the taxpayers dodged a bullet this last session when, you know, even though it was approved in the second session, it was going to go to the ballot. Ultimately, the courts ruled it unconstitutional, which was the millionaire's tax.
Right, right.
My guess is there's going to be an attempt to resurrect the millionaire's tax,
of course,
in a different form so that it doesn't get booted out of the courts. But, you know, CLT would have been one of the groups right out there finding out exactly when and where that was going to be moving.
And advocating. I mean, that's one of the beauties of your program, because there are things, 5-on-5 comes to mind. There are a slew of programs that once were that are no longer on the air. So that when you have the program such as your own, where people can go on and be warned. And I know Barbara Anderson has been down here.
She's been on here a number of times. She was before her passing.
God, yes. But yeah, and she would go anywhere. And we need somebody like that. So Jeff's right. There are a number of organizations along the political spectrum and individual single issue organizations that rate legislators. But I don't think anybody, aside from Barbara Anderson and CLT, really took the advocacy role, and she is going to be she's tough to replace as it is now.
Indeed.
And I tell you that were it not for Jeff and a few others and Barbara Anderson's help, I probably would not have been elected. And so it concerns me especially that they will not be around, because they fill the void.
Like you say, I'm not going anywhere, so I'll be, I'm sure, keeping track of things. But there's a group, NFIB, National Federation of Independent Businesses, just reminded me of another group that does look at business issues that affect businesses, and taxation is obviously one of them. So they do keep an eye on it as well. But they weren't nearly the watchdog that CLT is.
And I just want to kind of throw out, to give you a moment or two. Again, successfully being reelected to a state rep, I'm sure you've got a couple of things on your plate in regards to that you want to do in regards to the district.
Well, the district has a lot of there are a lot of water issues. I could spend the next, as a matter of fact, Representative-elect Sullivan, I spoke to her last night regarding Rockland Abington Water. They have a large issue there in terms of getting a new capacity, and she and I are going to be sitting down, the Abington Rockland Water Department, sitting down to talk about what the Mass Works can do for them within the next week or so. She's going to hit the ground running. And we've got road work along 139 and 53, and that's the beauty. We've even got some smaller issues that we can move forward on. I would say one of the single, since Jeff is, although hopefully it'll be in some statewide capacity, but the death penalty, it looks like I will end up being one of the primary advocates on the GOP side for the death penalty for individuals who murder police officers in the line of duty. So we are already working on that with some individuals who were involved in crafting the first law. And that's going to be something, hopefully we can get a very tight, well-written law that will survive the scrutiny of the SJC. Now, getting it through the legislature...
Get some support for it, right?
Get some support for it.
Are you hearing any support for it at this moment?
I think it would, on the Republican side, you'll probably have near 100% support, significant support. The governor supports it. And there are many Democrats who support it. The key is... probably getting it through the Senate.
You remember Les Goswell, his daughter Melissa was killed in Halifax years ago, and it took 13 years before we finally got a three strikes law. I tell you, that was actually when I've been thinking about my prouder moments in the legislature, and the night that we passed Melissa's law into Melissa's bill was one of those moments. And I'll tell you, it thankfully Democrats came together and said, look, these violent criminal offenders that are three strikes, you know, you've got to do something about putting them away without judge's discretion. There was an attempt to try to create a sort of a judge's discretion element to the bill. We said that just defeats the entire purpose. And so that was able to pass. And I know Les was in with the governor for the signing of that bill. And I just saw Les about a month ago before the election, maybe it was about a month and a half ago, before the elections were over in November. And he has on his wall in his office in Quincy there at their law office, he's got the signed bill from the governor along with a pen and photos of his daughter. And it was just sort of a real tribute. And again, the legislature, there's times when partisanship needs to go away and the right thing needs to be done, supporting law enforcement, the men and women that put on that uniform every day and put their lives on the line without being asked. You know, it's something that it's the right thing to do.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for, that's it, that's the time that we have for, it just flew. Gone. Nice. Poof. Anything you want to say in closing, Jeff?
I used to give the website. I have no website to give anymore. My wife's got a business, Boss Academy, down in Hanson. Kathy, so go to their website, BossAcademy.net. Right.
And I'm sure it's doing fantastic. Yes.
Oh, it's great. Well, I mean, this is a fun time. The holiday performances are coming up. So, yeah, Boss Academy, it's 17 years in business and just growing. So it's a great thing to come back to as well.
And Rep DeCoste, anything you want to say in closing, my friend?
DeCoste.com, or you can listen on Wednesday night, the JV team, where I occasionally sit in with Jared Valenzola. And actually, you can call up and ask any questions.
Well, we did open the phone lines.
There you
but
go.
We didn't have any takers this evening. We're going to have you back in maybe before the end of the year.
That's a deal.
To have you back on. And it is a deal.
That's
Jeff,
right.
Deal. State representative until, well, what, January 3rd?
January 1st.
You know, when my phone rings and I see Kevin Tachi on the screen, I go, all right, this is going to be either local TV or WATD radio, and I'm in.
And you actually do. You're due to do a,
I love it.
Do at least a closeout for the 7th Plymouth District Crosstalk, and maybe we create something new. We'll talk about that. That's it for the first hour. Second hour on deck and warming up in the bullpen right now. Michael Faherty joining me on the phone to talk a little bit about his upcoming event, and that is The Wonder of Christmas, which is presenting the Christmas show this coming weekend. More details in just a moment. You are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
WATD FM Marshfield. WATD Brockton.
I'm Tiny of Tiny and Zen's Glass. Broken windshield? Insurance covers it. Tiny works with all insurance companies.
Hey, Dad, we work with Allstate?
Yes, we do.
How about Amica?
Yes,
how about Arbella?
Very good.
And Commerce?
Very nice.
Even Geico?
Geico, yes.
Hanover?
Hanover Insurance? Good people.
Liberty Mutual is supposed to be pretty good.
Liberty Mutual? Yes, sir.
MetLife?
MetLife, yes.
Pilgrim?
Pilgrim, I know them.
Hey, Plymouth Rock. How about Plymouth Rock?
Plymouth Rock, excellent.
All right, Progressive, I heard. And Safety?
Safety. Safety is my friend.
And those guys at Tower Group, I thought they were tough, but they've been pretty good lately.
They should buy me lunch.
That's right. And how about USAA, the troops?
USAA is perfect.
We support the troops. We work with them all.
My dad did a great job. 1-888-64-TINIES. Just call.
Located right here on the South Shore, Atlantic Coffee and Provision is your solution for all of your office refreshment and break room needs. Family owned and operated since 1943, Atlantic has the break room products and programs to satisfy all of your employees. Hot and cold beverages, creamers and sweeteners, paper products, cleaning, and medical supplies, we've got it all. From our countless coffee selections, including Green Mountain, Starbucks, and Pete's, to our wide array of single cup brewing technologies, Atlantic is your trusted single source. If it's available for the office, Atlantic's got it for you. Looking to go green? Let one of our highly trained sales professionals walk you through the process. Great pricing, world-class service, and extraordinary selection. That's why Atlantic Coffee and Provision has grown into the leading office break room and refreshment company in Massachusetts. Call 1-800-242-1419 today or visit atlanticcoffee.com. We'll come to your office and schedule a free coffee demo and a complimentary cost analysis. Atlantic Coffee, we have a taste for service.
Be a part of the show. Call in and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, we're back for the second hour of Monday Night Talk. And as we teased at the top of the show, later on this hour, we will talk about stuffing a bus, Toys for Tots, and also talk a little bit about the Jubilate Corral. But the first gentleman who has been on this program numerous times to talk about one particular topic that we're going to actually get into during the holiday season, but he was actually on not too long ago talking about cryptocurrencies. We have the one and only Mr. Michael Fagerty joining us. Michael, welcome back to Monday Night Talk, sir.
Hey, Kevin, thanks so much for having me, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Now, Michael is here to talk about a fantastic event for two weekends, starting this coming weekend, Saturday and Sunday, December 8th and 9th, and the following, December 15th and 16th, The Wonder of Christmas, taking place right here on the South Shore, Norwell, 55 Accord Park Drive. If you will, kind of give us the details of the fun that is in store for folks who are looking to get into the Christmas this Christmas season and get festive.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. So the Wonder of Christmas is an event that it has been happening for the last 5 years. It's really a family kind of destination. It's something that is creative and multifaceted. It's a place where families can come and celebrate all the aspects of Christmas. And when I say all the aspects of Christmas, Christmas is very diverse and I would say very culturally deep. So It's a holiday that has its own food menu. It has its own musical soundtrack. There's a sacred part to Christmas. There's a secular part to Christmas. There's a folklore part to Christmas. There's a fun part to Christmas. There's also, you know, in the American culture, there's movies and TV shows and things like that. So Christmas is very wide and very deep. So we try to celebrate all the aspects of that. To us, there's a wonder about Christmas time. To some people, it's their favorite time of the year. And we agree with that. So we try to really make this an experience that celebrates all of the wonder of Christmas. Now, you did mention that we're at 55 Accord Park Drive, and if people aren't familiar with that, if you know where the Company Theater is in Norwell, another great place that puts on holiday presentations and things like that, we're kind of almost diagonally across from them. So if people are trying to find it, that's where we're located. But every year we put on a production, and this year we have an all-new production called The Christmas Show.
Mm.
And what The Christmas Show is it's a ticketed event that you come into, and it's a variety show. It's a very fast-moving, fun, creative variety show that
Wait, Michael, you mean like the variety shows of like Donnie and Marie and the Brady Bunch, stuff like that?
Yeah, so if you're old enough, you remember the kind of television show format. Yep. For a variety show. So a variety show would have a host and then lots of different guests and songs and gags and things like that. And it kind of takes that format. It's like a variety show of old with kind of a new modern twist to it. So there's a lot going on. There's 12 different separate acts that take place during this show, and it's fun, it's funny, it's amazing. You know, there's just a lot of surprises and fun inside the show.
Now, if I could ask you real quick, and that is, again, just to remind folks, this is taking place this coming weekend, and one of the things that I kind of noticed from some of the information you've sent me is that
There are other things that are happening in regards to the show. You've got other shows like with Santa Claus or maybe Mrs. Claus or and how do the audiences also play a role in this?
Yeah, that's good. So we've designed the show to be very interactive. So we're gonna give a chance for people to come out of the audience to participate in different parts of the show if they want to. We're gonna send our Christmas elf out to pick some volunteers. One of the fun things we have is called the Christmas Wheel. So if you've ever seen The Price is Right, during the Showcase Showdown, they get to spin this giant wheel to win prizes. And we're going to have this as part of our Christmas show as well. A couple times during the show, we're going to ask for volunteers out of the audience, and their child is going to have a chance to spin the Christmas wheel to win some early Christmas presents. Now, those early Christmas presents are going to be gift cards to like Walmart or Target, you know, for $25, $50, even $100 if they win that. Just a chance to get some early Christmas presents if they win. So, again, just a lot of interaction, a lot of fun. Mrs. Claus, you know, makes an appearance with her own cooking show. That's fun as well. And just a lot of creativity in the show.
I know in the past you and I have had conversations, and there's been other elements as well, whether it's, you know, familiar characters or princesses, anything like that this year?
Yeah, so we definitely have the princesses part of the show. So, you know, we have some princesses from Arendelle. Not going to say their names, but they show up. If you're familiar with the princess from Tafiti, she will be showing up as well. But these princesses, you know, not only act, they can sing really well, and they're going to be showing off their vocal talents during the show as well. The fun part too is after the show, the moms and dads and the kids can take pictures with the princesses and with the characters, and with they'll all be available to, you know, to take those selfies and things like that. So they're back again.
Okay, we're speaking with Michael Faherty, and Michael's giving us the details about a great event coming up for the next 2 weekends. The Christmas Show, The Wonder of Christmas, is presenting this. I think I want to throw out that you talked about Mrs. Claus. Chance for folks to maybe get a picture with Santa. Is Santa going to make an appearance? And what about as far as any beverages or goods if somebody wants to enjoy themselves with something to eat or drink?
Yeah, so we do have a Santa room. So after the show, what we do is we have an atmosphere where people can kind of hang out and just stay in kind of that Christmas kind of wonder. So we will have a cafe there. People can buy snacks and food. There will be live Christmas music being played in the cafe. What we found in the past is people grab a table, they sit down, they enjoy themselves. We have special little stations for kids to do activities and games, so there's a lot of kind of if you just wanted to hang out in that Christmas atmosphere, a lot of fun stuff to do. There is a Santa room there, so if you wanted to go and if your kids wanted to visit Santa or take some pictures with Santa, one of the things we offer is our picture sizes. We have a picture size that goes all the way up to portrait size. So wow. If you're really serious about a family picture, you can get one printed on the spot there in a very large size. And believe it or not, a lot of people go for that option. It's also a great value as well.
You can go onto the website, the www.thewonderofchristmas.net, to find out about tickets and info. But while we have you here, if folks want to get tickets, whether individual or maybe there's like a group rate, a family rate, could you share those details?
Yeah, absolutely. So our family ticket is very popular, but let me just tell you first, a single ticket is $10. That will give you access to the Wonder of Christmas and everything that's involved, including the Christmas show.
Mm-hmm.
But for savings, so we have a ticket for $35, but that's for four people or more in a family. So, for instance, we just had someone with six people, you know, a mom and a dad and four kids, buy the tickets It was $35. They saved a lot of money. They immediately wrote us and say, is this really, you know, all six of us can get in? And we said, yes, of course. So it's kind of a family value ticket, you know. So if you have, you know, more than four people in your family, four or more, I think the family ticket is a great value.
And if you could, kind of tell folks about, you know what, a lot, your programs, your shows, a lot goes into them and a lot of planning. Talk to folks about what goes into, you know, when do you start discussing your Christmas shows and when you're going to put them on? What goes into that? And how much rehearsal goes into it to be able to be, you know, to be able to entertain the folks who are going to be visiting you this coming weekend and the following?
Yeah, that's a great point. So there's lots and lots of people involved in this. The planning stage is usually kicking off in the summertime. So we've been talking about this since the summertime. We have to come up with kind of a plan. We have to write scripts. We mm-hmm. have to go ahead and audition people for the show and make sure we got the right talent to match what we're doing. So we've been working on this for a long time. You know, the last few weeks are really super busy. You know, almost every night there's something going on just so that the show is at a very excellent condition. One of the things, you know, we talked about this last year, but it's also involved, is during the show, we're also going to have an indoor Christmas light. It's a computerized electronic Christmas show as well. So there's a lot of setting up lights and things like that inside the auditorium so that as part of the show, that can happen as well.
And I thought you did an excellent job explaining to folks where you're located again. Share with them where the location is so they can find it quickly.
Yeah, thank you. So we're located 55 Accord Park Drive in Norwell, Massachusetts. This is probably about one street down from the Home Depot in Rockland. Mm-hmm. So if you're familiar with the Company Theater in Norwell, which puts on great holiday productions or productions all year round, we are on the same street almost diagonally across from them. So if you find yourself on that street, you will find the wonder of Christmas there. So 55 Accord Park Drive, Norwell, Massachusetts.
And again, if you want more information, go to the website, www.thewonderofchristmas.net. This is to give you information, everything that Michael has shared with us. Again, the podcast will also go up in the next couple of days, so you'll be able to re-listen to this over and over and over, share it with friends, and be able to... go and have, again, it's that time of year. And if you're looking to get into the spirit, I think this is the perfect way to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, two ways to buy tickets. A lot of people have already begun to buy tickets mm-hmm. online. So if you'd like to do that, and tickets will be available at the door.
Michael, thank you once again for joining us. We'll look forward to talking. I'm sure we have a cryptocurrency conversation coming up somewhere in the near future. So definitely stay in touch, and thank you to Lori for reaching out and reminding me that you got this fantastic show that's going to be the curtain's going to be going up this weekend.
All right, Kevin, thank you so much for having me, and Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas to you as well, Michael. And again, check them out at the website www.thewonderofchristmas.net. Okay, so we are changing direction from talking with Mr. Michael Faherty just a couple of moments ago to joining me in studio, shifting gears just like that. And we're going to talk a little bit about a Toys for Tots drive that is happening this weekend. Actually, it's starting Friday. I believe that the radio station is going to be doing a live remote in regards to helping out the Plymouth firefighters. Being able to stuff a bus. Now, I've heard of stuffing cars and ambulances and police cruises, but this is the first time that I've ever heard of stuffing a bus. And again, this is going to be the Plymouth Fire Department along with the firefighters from Local 1768. And joining us right now is Sean Page. Sean, not only a firefighter, but he is a coordinator with the Toys for Tots. Welcome to Monday Night Talk.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
I got to say, well, you're not new to radio because you were on last week with Christine James, and I know that you're really working to get the word out here.
Absolutely.
Talk to us about how did you get involved with this yourself?
Well, this is our 12th year with the fire department doing the Toys for Tots drive, and I was a recipient of Marshfield Community Christmas when I was younger.
Okay.
And through public service, I wanted to find a way to give back, so I approached the chief of our department about starting this up again, and it's been going along great ever since.
I have to first ask, how has it gone in recent years? Because my understanding is one of your major sponsors is no longer in business, and I don't know how that's having an effect on collections this year.
So far, I've seen more giving in past years, but Toys R Us was a major sponsor for the Toys for Tots Foundation. And with Toys R Us going out of business, we were really worried about any shortfalls that would come from that. But we've worked with Walmart to try to pick up the slack on that, and it's been amazing.
Now, am I correct in my estimation that you're attempting to stuff a bus? Where did that idea come from?
They actually do it. They've done it down the Cape, part of our region, and we decided this year to try to step our game up and do what they've done in the past. And First Student has donated a bus to us to try to fill that thing up.
And this is the First Student of Plymouth. And it's okay. You've got your son here.
I do. My son, Ryan.
Your son, Ryan, which is okay. And he's the parent. Us as parents, we're like, shh. It's okay. Again, we're talking about kids. You brought a kid. I'm okay with that. Monday Night Talk welcomes them from, 7
to
70. I don't
want them to steal the spotlight from me.
So is there any particular ages right now? Where do things stand as far as your collections?
Right now, we're at 2,230 toys, which is right about what we did last year. So we're anticipating possibly doubling that, if not hopefully tripling those numbers. What we've asked for in the past few years is to remember the older kids, 12 and up, because we do try to help up to 17 years old. And, if that's needed. And a lot of people forget, we get the influx of toys for younger kids.
So easy to buy for older kids. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like for Ryan, I'm sure it's easy to buy. He's what, three?
He actually, the 4 to 6 year old boy is the best age group that we ever do. So we're, filtering out and trying to remind people of the different age groups that we might be coming short with.
Now, are you looking for, do you want folks to show up with the toy already wrapped, or what's the idea is to, if they do purchase a gift, to donate?
The toys need to be unwrapped and new in the package, or we can't accept them. And that way we can distribute them by age and gender. So when we sort them and we have families that we go through, then we'll know if it's boy, girl, and age appropriate.
Now, I know that you've kind of put word out there, folks want, if they have questions about your particular drive, you've given your email address, Sean Page, just like it sounds, PAGE72@gmail.com. What are some of the questions that folks are asking you to date?
This year, it's been emails about volunteering and helping, but in past years and this year, is the people that are looking for help. They don't know where to turn. Even people out of our region have reached out to me, and we try to point them in the right direction of where to go to get help.
Again, we're talking with Sean Page. He is a Plymouth firefighter. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
And he's also the coordinator for Toys for Tots. Now, we want to get folks over to this bus. So where is the bus going to be parked?
We're going to set the bus up directly in front of Walmart in Plymouth at Old Colony Place. And front and center, and then we're going to be covering the doorways, so we'll have the entire front of Walmart in Plymouth pretty much covered and visible.
Okay. How does this compare with other, do you find yourself just helping Plymouth residents, or is this Plymouth area residents once you are able to fill this bus?
We have commitments that we meet for Plymouth and Kingston, but we do reach out to other areas. We take care of our region. All the toys that we collect stay within our region first and foremost. So if somebody's donating to us, they can they can feel comfortable knowing that we're helping people in our area. If we have an overage, then we can reach out to other areas throughout the region.
And strictly toys, correct?
Strictly toys.
So if somebody shows up with kids' clothing, you're like, no.
We can take clothing. It's very, very rare that we get clothing, but hats and mittens are definitely welcome. And we do take monetary donations, and the monetary donations or gift cards go back into the account to cover shortfalls on toys.
Now, folks can't reach you. Are you working with other coordinators as well?
It's through the Cape and Islands Toys for Tots Foundation, which is online, Cape Cod, the number 4, toysfortots.com.
And I to assume that on December 10th, you'll still be collecting toys. Just because the bus isn't parked down at Walmart doesn't mean that you're not going to be collecting toys. When will you be collecting toys up until?
That's correct. We put out boxes at our Station 1 headquarters station in Plymouth and our Station 6 Cedarville station, and we collect, usually start right around Thanksgiving, right up until December 21st is when we try to stop collecting.
And again, this is the 12th annual Toys for Tots drive. And again, you never can assume that folks are all set in during the holidays. There are folks who are in need, whether it's just through everyday living. And let's not forget, I mean, usually in the colder months, we see our share of fires and natural disasters. And it doesn't hurt to make sure that you give to an organization like yours, correct?
Absolutely correct.
Is there anything I haven't asked you in regards to this fundraiser, but you kind of feel is important to getting the word out there about?
We've covered a lot, but like you said, the most important thing to remember is smiles on Christmas is what it's all about. There are a lot of people out there that won't come forward because they're of their pride, mm-hmm. or they're afraid to be outed in some way, and we won't do that. There's people that have come to me. We don't need information on family background or anything. We just need to know if you have a 4-year-old boy and a 3-year-old girl, and we're going to take care of those families.
Yeah, so we've sat here and we've talked about the process of folks getting out, mobilizing, bringing down a donation. And again, I'm going to remind folks, as Sean mentioned earlier, is you know, the kids between 4 and 6, it's like an explosion of toys. But the older kids, you know, the tweeners to the teens, to the late teens, you can't forget about them. And there's a way that you can. Would you do gift cards?
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
So like a GameStop
That, you know, with teenagers, having teenagers myself, that's the easiest gift to give.
Extra pair of thumbs maybe while they're at the gaming and,
exactly.
and stuff. If somebody wanted to submit their, let's say, again, a family in need, what's the process like for the family in need who wants to reach out to Toys for Tots, you know, to be a recipient or to be considered?
You go online and look up your region. I believe it's just a zip code you put in, it'll bring you to the regional area that you go in, and there's a tab that you click on to request toys, request assistance.
Okay. And now, how many different groups are going to be rotating? Is there going to be a couple of guys from each group rotating over the next 3 days?
I don't have a commitment on times, but we're going to have a lot of people there helping out and, you know, backfilling each other's. I plan on being there for the duration for the 3 days. So it's well worth the tiresome efforts that we go through, because we're not the heroes in this. It's the people that bring a toy by. It doesn't matter if it's small. It doesn't matter if it's big. It doesn't matter if it's inexpensive or expensive. It's all about those smiles. And those are the heroes of the people that drop off those toys.
Now, you're getting more airtime on Friday? Because I know we're doing a live remote. You got to be excited about that.
Absolutely. We did a live broadcast on Monday, and then now here with you. And I'm going to do another live broadcast with Christine on Wednesday at noon.
Right. Wow. You're definitely going to be excited, and hopefully this is going to yield dividends.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, how
we've always played the game with, as long as we get one more toy than last year, and we've always done that. And now with stepping up the process with the Stuff-A-Bus this year, we know we're going to blow the numbers out of the water.
Now, you mentioned earlier that this isn't just Plymouth, but Kingston's involved, you got Cape and Islands. Will you see anybody from Kingston come and assist on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday?
The word's been put out, so anybody and everybody is welcome to come by and volunteer. We won't turn anybody away.
Okay. Anything you want to say in closing? Again, we have been speaking with Sean Page. He is with the Plymouth Fire Department. And he's here talking to us about the Big Stuff a Bus event that's coming up this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, we'll be there from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., same on Saturday. And Sunday, we will be there from 9 to 5.
And again, remember, you could still drop off toys. What are the particular stations that if folks want to drop off toys?
Station 1, 114 Sandwich Road in Plymouth, and Station 6, our Cedarville Station, at 2209 State Road. We also have a box here at the radio station, so if you can't make it, stop by any time and drop a toy in the box.
Right, there's no excuse. As soon as you walk in the front door, boom, it's right there.
There it is.
Drop the toy in. And again, do not wrap the toy. I don't want to leave out any ages, but if you're gonna get a toy, make sure you keep in mind gender specific, and also make sure that it's, if you can, remember the kids, the tweeners, early teens, late teens, to get them something, because there's definitely a need. And I want to thank Ryan for coming. Ryan has done a fantastic job, as he's here as the
he's my bodyguard.
Yeah, he's the bodyguard, and he's also he's also the co-host of the segment, a special co-host. So, absolutely. Anything you want to say in closing, Ryan?
No, I just want to get out of here.
Yeah. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much for having me.
I personally will be tuned in. As I hope everybody else will be tuned in. If you can't listen in your car, there's no excuse. Today's technology, you can listen on our app, the TuneIn app. Go to the website, tune in, and make sure you hear how things are going on Friday when we do the live broadcast. Sean, once again, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
You got it. All right, we're going to step aside, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little Jubilate Chorale of Southeastern Massachusetts right here on Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options, like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
Dad, with me away at college, you need a new voice for Kenmark Office Systems.
You're right, Maggie, but how about one last Mega Maggie special?
Remember, Maggie, that Kenmark has been the South Shore's leading one-stop office equipment, furniture, and supply company for over 33 years.
Bill, now I know why your hair is so gray and my dad's losing his.
Teenagers, Kenmark has the perfect machine or document solution from Savinrico, Konica Minolta, and Kenmark backs up their award-winning products with award-winning service.
What about our Mega Maggie special on office furniture and supplies?
Kenmark can beat the box store prices with discounts up to 50% on office furniture and office supplies. Plus, give you the personal attention you deserve with free delivery and design service.
Call Kenmark today for all your office needs, whether you need a digital copier, document solution, office furniture, or office supplies.
Stay tuned for more specials and visit our new website to register to audition for the new voice of Kenmark.
Kenmark makes it easy for you.
Visit Kenmark. Office.com.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Well, it's our final segment of Monday Night Talk. I look at my radio program. And I've said this, it's redundant what I'm going to tell you, but those who are fans of the program understand where I'm coming from, this analogy. I like to look at the program, usually the first segment or two. Those are the appetizers, like a meal. You go out for a dinner, first couple is smaller, you have 15-minute segments, They're the appetizer. Usually when we get to the 7 o'clock hour, we're in around 7 o'clock, that's your entree, okay? And then it's 7:30, 7:25, right around there. It's the dessert portion of the program. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, anybody who's willing to listen, it is time for me to serve you dessert. Joining us right now is somebody who has been on this program. It's almost a little bit more than a year to the date that she was on this program. She is the music director and conductor of the Ubalate Chorale of Southeastern Massachusetts, Dr. Maxine Asselin. Doctor, welcome back to Monday Night Talk.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. It was fun last year when we did that.
Yeah, but you were in person last time, and we had other people that we could, you know, throw into the mix who were uncomfortable.
Oh, I know, I know.
You and I like to talk, so it's nothing for you and I, but we have other people that are kind of on the hot seat and need to have a conversation. They can't do so well as you. Well, I will say this. Well, for those who don't know about you, could you kind of give a little bit of a Cliff's Notes version as to what the Ubalate Chorale does?
Okay. We're a community choir, so we're composed of both genders. We sing soprano, alto, tenor, and bass, and we put on usually two major concerts a year, one around Christmas time and one in May. And also within the chorale, I audition a group of singers who want to sing in a smaller group. I call them the chamber ensemble. And every time we do a concert, they do three or four numbers of their own. So how do I get them to practice and come? Well, they decide they want to do extra, so they come about 45 minutes before chorale starts on Monday night, and we rehearse, and it's their responsibility to learn all the notes and the rhythms, etc. And we start right away making music, where in chorale, we do mostly, you know, sight reading and checking on notes and checking on rhythms and the loudness and the softness. And we usually, well, every year or so, we do some extra performances around Christmas time. I think the group that does the most of these would be the Chamber Ensemble.
Okay.
Want to hear about some of the things where we've gone and done?
Yeah, well, actually, what I was going to, I just want to just let folks know is that there is a performance that is coming up less than a week, next Sunday, December 9th at 3 p.m.
Oh, indeed.
Big deal.
It would be starting at 3 o'clock at Christ Congregational Church. It is on Pleasant Street in Brockton. And we have been performing there for ages.
Well,
we have a very devoted audience.
And talk to me some of the folks who assist you in being able to get this group of folks together and on key. Talk to me about Susan and John and James, who are your assistant conductors, your assistant, your accompanist.
Oh, gosh, I am very, very fortunate to have them. When I took over the group many, many years ago, I discovered that I had some very talented other musicians in the group and who had done or were doing conducting at the time. And I thought, well, this is a great thing because if I were ever out ill, I could have someone do the performance, and I could provide them another way to perform conducting Ubalate. Mm. And so that's worked out very, very well. I have one gentleman, John Marafa, who is a graduate of Westminster Choir College. I have another one, Susan St. Pierre, and she was a music teacher for her career. And then I have the third one who joined our chorale maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and her name is Jillian Griffin. She now conducts and is the music director at Bridgewater High School. So I've got, you know, really talented assistants, and I do use them. and our accompanist is James Hay. He used to, years and years ago, sing with a group while our former accompanist was still active. And I have come to recognize talent in the accompanist. When they're playing, et cetera, if I am not made aware that they are playing, et cetera, and I can concentrate on the chorale, then I consider them excellent. He reads everything. He reads the full score. In other words, if you were to look at the violin part going across the page and followed in the individually by the other parts, he would be able to put that all together and produce one sound on the keyboard, which, I can't do. I think I could produce that one sound of all instruments looking at all their individual music. Maybe in 3 or 4 minutes I could produce one sound, but he does it instantly. Would you like to hear more about any of them?
Yeah, sure I would. Well, I would like to hear more about them in regards to this their role in the Jubilate Chorale Presents Christmas, A Time for Singing, this fantastic event happening next Sunday.
Right, right. Well, I have to go back a couple of months. Last season, a couple of the singers asked, can we use instruments again for next Christmas? And I thought, great, great. So I started looking around for music. And then I realized, okay, why don't I have one of them conduct one of the pieces with instruments? Because that takes a little more effort, et cetera. So John Marafa will be conducting a Sanctus by Bach and using the string quartet that is hired. And Jim, our accompanist, is bringing a small portable keyboard that acts sort of like a harpsichord, who will be accompanying on that. And later on in the program, when the chamber ensemble sings, Susan St. Pierre will be leading the chamber ensemble in It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas.
Hmm.
So I think I have them conducting every year. Since I have three of them, I've used two of them in one season and one of them in the next season. And then they choose which season they want to conduct. I can remember Susan telling me that she would prefer to conduct in the spring season because her own obligations around Christmas time were so vast, she just didn't feel like she could do another conducting job.
I think it's worth noting that prior to being the music director and the conductor of Jubilate Chorale, you had a career prior to your career. I think that's astounding. You were a professional singer. What made you decide to go from, I'm going to use a football analogy, and that is, what made you decide to go from the star quarterback to being the head coach?
When I was much younger, when I was in school, I majored in voice and got a couple of degrees in music. And at the time, conductors were only people who allowed me an occasion to sing, you know. I recognized what they were doing, and I recognized bad ones and good ones, but I gave no idea to conducting myself until I had a job at a junior high. And one of the obligations was a ninth grade chorus. And, well, I didn't know really what to do, but they learned all the notes, they learned the rhythms. We used to rehearse every day. So I thought that was great. And then they put on a concert. Now that piqued my interest a little bit, and then I went for my doctorate, and I got a job teaching at Bridgewater State University. And I noted that they had a couple choirs, a larger choir and a smaller a cappella choir, and they also had a women's ensemble that would rehearse at night. And the head pianist was the conductor of that ensemble, and he felt really out of water because that wasn't his strong point. So I told the chair of the department, gee, if Henry doesn't want to continue conducting the women's ensemble, I would like to take it, and would it be possible to put it in the day schedule? Well, at a meeting about 2 months later of the department, the department chair says, and Maxine will take over the conducting of the women's ensemble, and we'll put it opposite the days that the chorale meets. So that's how I started.
And it's interesting that we dovetail this into my next question.
We're
speaking with Dr. Maxine Aslan. She is the music director and conductor of the Ulate Chorale of Southeastern Massachusetts. They got a big performance coming up next Sunday at 3 p.m. For tickets and more information, 508-427-6640, or you can go to their website, Jubilates, that's JUBILATESINGS.org. That's JubilatesSings.org. And so my next question is, there's a rumor, this is your swan song. This is going to be the final time that you're leading this fine group.
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Earlier in my career, I had thought, you know, how would one know when it's time to stop conducting? Because I think that once you realize you're making mistakes or you're not doing things you're used to do, then it's too late because other people will have noticed it before. So I did a couple things last season that were not normal for me. I am very aware of how the group sounds, that they sound, you know, all the words are said in the same way and the quality of sound, all of that. And last season, I found myself just saying, oh, I can't deal with this right now. I'll deal with it later.
Mm.
And that is not something I would have done. And then I realized, my God, I'm getting to be old, although I don't like it. I was really, really tired the next day after rehearsal. And I thought, you know, think about this more, and it's probably time to say goodbye. I have been with them for 36 years.
Goodness.
You know?
Goodness.
They've grown up with me, sort of.
So it's kind of good that you have, it seems as though you have a fine crop of assistant conductors who have been under your wing, so to speak, for past number of years, that if once you decide that next week that's it, that it's in good hands, would that be safe to say?
Yes. The board has appointed a, you know, small committee to do the search for a new conductor.
Okay.
But since I'm leaving in the middle of a year, so to speak, John Marafa will be the head conductor for next season. And he is using the other two conductors in a major way. So you can say that my assistants, who I love dearly, will be handling chorale. And they will be doing fine.
Okay. Being this your last time leading the performance, one would think that maybe we'll see a couple of the director's favorite selections somehow in the program.
Oh, it's funny you should ask that, because when I was considering, okay, what are you going to do? Some people ask me, you're going to do a great big program and go out with a hoopla, but that's not me.
Okay.
So I decided just to choose a regular program. But I allowed myself to choose three numbers by the same composer, by John Rutter, whom I actually love his music. And then I was thinking, okay, what are you going to end this program with? Anything special? Anything? And nothing really came to mind until this summer. I was watching the royal wedding of Harry and Meghan,
mm-hmm.
and the choir sang, "The Lord bless you and keep you," of John Rutter, and I decided that is it. That's it. That's what I'm ending the program with, because those are the thoughts that I'm sending to my choir members, that they should always be blessed by the Lord.
Wow, so, that's beautiful.
Thank you. I hope we do it well.
I hope so too. I would honestly tell you that I would attend, but unfortunately, I'm going to another magical place. I'll be in Disney next Sunday, so it'll be impossible for me to be there, but I will be there with you in spirit.
I know you will. I know you will. I am envy you going down to a warmer climate for a little while.
Well, let's see if it's warmer. I've been in past years where, you know, you expect it to be, you know, 50s or 60s, and luckily I was smart enough to still have my jacket that I wore on the plane from up here in Massachusetts, and I thanked my lucky stars that I didn't do what some folks normally do. It's interesting when you're boarding a plane at 5 o'clock in the morning and everybody's kind of all in, you know, summer gear, and you get down, you get off the plane, and it's maybe a tad bit warmer than it was when you got on the plane. And you look
right. Whenever I've traveled at winter, people going to Florida,
mm-hmm.
they always had their shorts on already. I'm thinking, oh, my word, how can you do that? You're going to freeze on the plane, you know?
I'd rather wait and see what ends up happening. But I'll ask you this. Being the last performance, what do you do once you're officially retired? Do you have plans, or is it a matter of you'll see where life takes you?
Well, I know my friends worry that I'm going to just disappear. But I already have plans. I don't know. You know, when I retired from teaching at Bridgewater, I didn't know what I was going to do. But after a couple of months of retirement, I realized I didn't have enough time to teach anymore. You know, I love gardening. There's something in the spring and in the summer and the fall. I love digging around in dirt, that there is something so soothing. The air is so nice, and the birds are singing, and you're planting flowers, and things are growing. In the wintertime, I knit. I know, I'm like a little old lady, but I've been knitting for so long. I think all my friends have at least two sweaters by me. And then I came up with knitting. I knit for charity.
Oh.
And this year, I haven't been able to do too much, but usually every year, I bring over a real, you know, the black trash bags,
mm-hmm.
big black trash bags, filled with scarves, different designs and colors, hats, mittens, and I love knitting afghans, and baby hats, kids' hats. I just love doing that. Gives me an excuse to sit down and be lazy. So, when I retire now, I have plans to do my second bedroom over. It used to be paneled, and I had put the paper over it that covers the ridges in the paneling, and it's just a plain white paper with, you know, a texture on it. Well, some of it seems to be coming loose, and there are sections that seem to be discolored, so I'm going to do that all over again. I'm going to redo my second bedroom.
Very nice. Well, I'm glad you got at least it's plotted out, planned out, so to speak. You talk about gardening. It's interesting you talk about that, because I like to do a little gardening, but I'm on the other side. Like, just a couple of months ago, we actually pulled out, we had these big yew bushes in front of our house. Instead of trimming them, we decided to remove them. So that was like my fun project. So I think I understand where you're coming from. Having little projects around the yard are always fun. Anytime that you can kind of brighten up and do something different with your home.
Oh, gosh, yes. You talk about removing yews in front of your house. I had azaleas in front, and I think they had reached their goal in life. They kind of stopped blossoming, et cetera, so I figure, okay, guys, I'll give you one more year. You don't do well in the blossoming department,
right,
and you're going to go. So they've gone. So... And other things have been planted. So,
again, we're speaking with Dr. Maxine Eslin. She is the music director and conductor for the Jubilate Chorale of Southeastern Mass, and we've been talking about her big the big program coming up for the concert choir this coming Sunday, December 9th, at the Christ Congregational Church, 1350 Pleasant Street in Brockton. If you want more information, give them a call, 508-427-6640, or go to the website, jubilatesings.org, jubilate, J-U-B-I-L-A-T-E. And probably one of the last things that we'll chat about for a couple of moments here, I understand that you had been approached by a very special listing called Who's Who in America. Who are they, and what are they asking you for?
Oh... I got a call on Friday morning, and I was actually overwhelmed. Years and years ago, maybe 20 or 30 years ago, I was really fortunate to be named to Who's Who in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in their every edition so far. And so one of their officials, the Marquis Company, the gentleman with the last name Marquis, developed the Who's Who series. Well, she called me and she said, you have been chosen to receive the Albert Nelson Marquis Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, my.
And, yeah, I went, oh, oh, my goodness. And she said, we would like to learn more about you because he would like to do a story on you. So I have a telephone interview this coming week in which two of their officials will speak with me. I am just overwhelmed. She also said that less than 5% of people listed in Who's Who are ever even considered for this lifetime award, and that most of them are gentlemen. I went on their site and I discovered there were scientists, doctors, etc. So I can't imagine why they would pick me. And she said, "Well, you have been so persistent and so superior in what you do that your name just came up in a natural manner." So immediately I called my best friend and she said, "Oh, I am so proud of you."
Oh.
Like I did something, but I am very, very honored.
Now, according to my information, I did a little bit of digging around here. This honor is, this prestigious award is fantastic, but let's be honest here. Here you go. In 2003, you were part of Who's Who in America, Who's Who in the East. You've also been part of Who's Who of American Women. And then you were also in the international edition of Who's Who of Women in Education. And that's just to name a few. So
Where'd you find all this?
I'm not telling.
Okay.
An investigative reporter never tells.
I have been named to a couple. Yeah.
You have, and that's fantastic. You deserve the recognition for your hard work in this area, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about this at a later date. Hopefully we find a way to smuggle you back onto the radio show and maybe talk about that and some other stuff. Anything you want to say in closing in regards, other than kind of getting folks amped up to attend next Sunday show?
Well, on one hand, as a response to your finding out more about me, I I don't feel special. I just feel like one of the guys, so to speak. And about the chorale, they are exceedingly talented. I am so fortunate in having a group that reads music so well, that responds to being musical, and we have so much fun. They do some funny things, and I make comments, and I dance around, etc. So you should all come and hear them. They're going to do O Holy Night, which is one of the favorites of audiences, and we're going to sing with the audience Jingle Bells, all three verses, and you will be provided with all the words. We just have a nice time. Plus, as an added feature, that all these people are good cooks. Ooh. And downstairs afterwards are, I think, three full eight feet tables filled with their goodies. We have a big line that waits to go through this because it's fun. And we just gather around and talk and eat.
So if you guys want to have fun, I'm suggesting that you go and you attend next Sunday. Now, advanced sales tickets, students with an ID.
Yes.
See,
I would suggest that you, if possible, we do sell tickets at the door, but they're $2 more
right.
than the other tickets. Plus, there's only one ticket price at the door.
$22.
Right. And before, you can get student and senior rates and get a little lower rate as an adult,
yep.
child, etc.
So, for more information, 508-427-6640. And please make this a special day for our friend Maxine, who's going out on top, and we want to send her out in style. Please be sure to be there at the Christ Congregational Church on Pleasant Street in Brockton, again, 3 p.m. next Sunday. Maxine, I want to thank you so much for joining us, and again, like I said, I'll be there in spirit because I'll be down hanging out with the mouse. So,
okay.
If I don't talk to you, may you have a merry, merry Christmas and a happy new year.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity to advertise our concert and to speak with you. And I'm only sorry that I can't give you a great big hug.
I'll get it eventually.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You got it. And hey, folks, that's all the show that we have here. That's all the Monday Night Talk until next week at 6:15 p.m. Have yourselves a great evening.